Hi, my name is Bryce Rankins, and you're listening to episode 27.2 of Sneaky Geek. Track rolls, and then we're good.
Cool.
Cue the music.
Hey, dudes, dudettes, and
everybody else
in between, dudexes.
Inside
the dude realm, outside the dude realm.
Ooh, hey, no, that got
around
dirty.
The dude realm.
Around the
in
dude.
In
and around the dude realm. We're California, and
everybody's a dude.
Anyway, dudes.
I'm a dude.
What's up, dudes?
We're all dudes.
Have a
we're
dude.
Dudes. You know.
Anyway, we're three dudes. Oh, hey, so guess what? We're still talking about Star Wars Celebration.
Star Wars!
Because we only got through day one
of
Star Wars Celebration in our point one, but we are going to try to move through this quicker because we don't have an entire trailer to break down and analyze.
Yeah.
Or rather, we have like four trailers to break down and analyze, but we're not going to do it.
No, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Even though they're so good.
But today, we are joined by somebody who's supposed to have been on this podcast for at some point in the
like,
last 27 episodes.
Long time ago.
I'm here now.
But he's here now. We've got Amir Hamid. Yay! So, Amir,
you guys
last
can't
name
see,
on.
But there's a huge crowd in front of us cheering.
So. Yeah,
yeah, we had to cut their mics. They're just too damn loud.
Too loud. Good thing we've got clear, clean audio on all of our very nice lapel mics and aren't just, you know, rocking a Blue Yeti on a mic stand.
That's not happening. No, this is a professional podcast.
We're in a studio.
On. Drink break.
Yeah, and after all the bragging we did about having an actual studio space to record in, we then filled it with our dining room because we're redoing our floors so that we can have a nice fancy floor in our dining room.
So it smells lovely in here now.
It does. It smells like stain. Anyway, it's been a few days since the Saturday, Sunday, Monday Star Wars Celebration extravaganza.
Yeah.
So remembering all the tiny, minute details like we did on our last episode is probably not going to happen.
No, because we did that like right after.
Yeah, it was quite fresh.
Yes.
We have quite a few things to talk about. We have Clone Wars panel happened.
Oh, yeah.
A Rebels panel happened.
Sure did.
A
Fallen Order, Mandalorian.
And there was one. Oh, and then the anniversary of Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, was also, there was a panel for that as well.
Mm-hmm. We had the Galaxy's Edge panel.
I didn't see the Galaxy's
Edge
panel.
Which I did not watch because I want to go into Galaxy's Edge, aka Star Wars Land, fresh, knowing nothing. I want to go and just like...
Spoiler free,
be immersed, which is really hard. I saw some, I mean, we live near it, so it's, you can see some
every
stuff
time
going
I
on.
Drive over that. Sometimes I take that overpass
just to go
look and be like, what's going on? Ooh, they put a tower next to that rock spire.
Yeah. So I know a few things, and there's a lot of cool art stuff they had at the panel that they talked about. I think I caught like a hot second of it. I'm like, no, I don't want to see this anymore.
Well, what do we know about Galaxy's Edge so far from just, you know, things we know from people who have been near it, etc.?
It takes place on the planet of Batuu,
which is located in, or which is a setting in the film, or in the book, Thrawn.
Mm-hmm.
The new one, not part of any previous
Alliances.
Legends thing. The new Thrawn book, and not part of Thrawn Alliances, and not part of whatever other Thrawn book
Correct.
They're coming out with.
Yeah. Gave a cool little backstory. That took place during the Clone Wars and just before Season 4 of Rebels, so it's kind of cool to get like a back and forth. The book was really cool because Thrawn got to hang out with Anakin.
Oh, cool.
And then...
In Alliances or in the first one? Oh, is it in Alliances that the book exists? The story takes place?
Yeah.
Oh, well, my bad. Okay, so I apologize. I said that unclearly. Thrawn Alliances has Batuu.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I know, but it's not what I said, so...
But it's okay. I correct you, Sorokin.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Anyway, I would get through that book if that stupid southern accent that Mark Thompson decided to use wasn't so annoying.
I couldn't tell.
Well, it was a good accent. It was fine. I just didn't understand why anybody in...
Star Wars had a
southern accent. I listen to almost all my Star Wars books they have sound effects and music.
Yeah, and it's they're so good.
You want to have a book with lightsabers, or do you want to have a book with actual lightsaber sounds? Like,
good point.
Uh-huh.
Good point.
Yeah. So we know it's on that planet. Yeah, Thrawn gets to hang out with Anakin, and then later on, he gets to hang out with Darth Vader, and he slowly starts putting pieces together. Like,
because Thrawn's a smart dude.
Yeah. So, it's called the Black Spire Outpost.
Hmm.
There's a book coming out that's going to kind of fill in some more background on the Black Spire base there. Well, the book takes place after The Last Jedi, because we know there's a time jump. We don't know exactly how long of a time jump, but there's a time jump between Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. So this book takes place or in between the movies, so it kind of, apparently there's a base or something that the New Republic or the Resistance might be looking for. So this book's out August 27th of 2019 this year, which is going to coincide with the opening of Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland and in Disney World. The Disney World one is opening later in the summer, and the Disneyland one's going to open up in late May. But yeah, so the panel just kind of, I think, broke down what they're going to find in there, different things that you can see that's part of the Star Wars galaxy already.
Did they talk about Hondo at all?
I don't know.
Oh yeah, you didn't watch it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but yeah. We did see...
We've seen
Yeah,
Hondo.
So Hondo, one of our favorite characters on Clone Wars and Rebels, has like a full animatronic dude in there.
Yeah.
That's pretty
Which
cool.
Which I'm really excited about because it means it's like the closest thing to a living, like live action Hondo that we've seen.
Yeah.
Which could pave a way for that to appear in other media that is live action.
Hell
which
yeah.
They are exploring now.
Yeah.
So, because we've already had one bridge over from
Rebels.
Well, we've had two now. We've had two Salt. Bridge overs from Rebels because we have Maul and Solo, and then have the Ghost Chopper
and
both Chopper's appear
in
and a reference to Captain Syndulla are all in Rogue One, but we haven't seen anybody other than like ships and things
like
that could easily CGI.
Yeah.
Whereas a Hondo living human,
he's there talking to you,
live action thing.
Yeah. That's gonna be pretty cool.
Could be really, really cool. I mean, he moves exactly like Jack Sparrow. It looks like they just took Jack Sparrow and put Hondo face on.
Which I'm okay with.
I mean, that's essentially who Hondo becomes. He's a space pirate, and like, of course, he becomes sort of a Jack Sparrowish type character. Values when somebody screws him over, like
right. Yeah, it's gonna be so. I can't wait to see it.
I want to see space pirates of the Black Post Black Spire Outpost. Yeah.
But apparently his part of the whole park is he, for some reason, he has the Falcon. So they built like a life-size Falcon in the park, and there's part of a ride that's in there.
Does the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge take place between the original trilogy? And
it's just, I don't know if there is a certain
frame. I wouldn't mind the idea that at some point during the various hands that changed, that the Millennium Falcon changed through during that course of time before The Force Awakens, if Hondo was one of the names that wound up.
That'd be hilarious.
If he got it for a brief moment. Because I feel like there's evidence that it went through, like they've stated some of the people who've had it. Oh, and because they're working toward that in the Millennium Falcon like storyline that we talked about in the Del Rey.
Oh, that's right.
Book panel we went to at Comic-Con.
Did you watch
the Del Rey panel? It wasn't?
I didn't find it online.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't find it online.
So I haven't watched the Del Rey panel either,
yeah.
Which I suppose is the next panel we were supposed to talk about.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so the Galaxy's Edge panel was going on. They showed some art stuff. They revealed that they have a deal with Coca-Cola, as Disney does, and they put the Coca-Cola brand like in Urbish, like the Star Wars.
That's cool.
Alphabet language kind of thing, yeah. Kind of cool, kind of lame, but I'm just like, you know what, whatever.
I mean, if you're going to put an Arabesh,
you might as well go all
out.
Might
as well do it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you want, like, you're going to want a Coke while you're in there.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be hot, it's going to be gross.
Yeah.
Also, that planet, for whatever reason, I suppose I had this idea because I was only seeing the rocks on the other side of the edge of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
Because I was just seeing, the backside of it, which they have over time put more detail into the back of it as well, so when you look at it from the street you still know it's not just, it doesn't just look like an empty back lot, like you don't just see scaffolding and stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they've decided to be like, let's go just a smidgen
let's
extra
cover this up. Yeah.
But one of the things I've really appreciated is I thought that Galaxy's Edge was gonna be like kind of on a desert planet, but it's on a very well forested green planet.
Yeah.
Which means there will be ample shade, and it won't be hotter than shit during the summer to be there. And if they want to throw misters up, it won't be weird.
Yeah.
Because it'll be...
fit.
It'll fit, yeah.
Imagine little droids going by with, like, little misters going...
I'm in.
Yeah. Like cheese.
Mouse droid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So good. But, yeah, so other than that...
I also there's... want the trash cans to walk around and actually be trash cans.
Yeah.
If they can make that happen.
Oh, God. They really have to. They have to.
Yeah, the ones that are very clearly, like, mall trash droids? Cans.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But let's be real.
Yeah, they'll make them into trash
like
cans.
Like the one on the Mandalorian trailer.
Yes!
Yeah, the gun droid. Yeah. Yeah. I think they're power droids. Like, they're supposed to, like, help give power and charge things.
I'm.
Yeah, but I also want a trash can one.
Yeah. But yeah, I want one that's just a trash can.
Yeah. Like, so.
Also, I would love R2-D2, like a protocol, not a protocol, an astromech serving drinks like in Jabba's Palace.
Yeah, that's kind of a given. If they don't do that, they
have
messed
up.
They're messing up. Real bad.
Yeah. Yeah, so they also released some of the merch that they're going to give out, that they're going to have in the park.
Yeah, they're not giving out anything.
Nothing. You're going to give them all
your money.
We're
lucky they're letting us walk into the room for free.
You know? Shoot. But yeah, so you can build your own lightsabers. There's like holocrons you could buy. And as soon as I got to those, I'm like, okay, I'm out. I'm good. I'm done. I don't want to know what else I'm going to have to blow all my money on because I will.
Can't wait to be broke going there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was the Galaxy's
Edge. I assume they're going to improve the build your own lightsaber
it looked like
system
it. Yeah.
Beyond what it was before.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll probably be similar to what you see in whatever the gift shop is at the end of Star Tours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not having to go find your own crystal.
I still haven't actually walked into Launch Bay.
Really?
I don't think I have. I've never met Chewbacca.
Yeah, because
I know if I do go there,
I think
I won't
cry. Last time, like, you went with me, all the Marvel stuff was still pretty big in there. Star Wars hadn't really taken it over yet.
Oh, okay. That might be a big factor.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out because it's cool. And Chewie's so soft and
cuddly.
Humble. Yeah.
I love Chewie.
It was a moment.
It's going to be a moment for me. I know. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Galaxy's Edge, or at least what we've seen in the news of it.
Mm-hmm.
What came after Galaxy's
Edge?
Next
up, we had the video game announcement for Star Wars Fallen Order.
Oh, my gosh.
Fallen
that trailer. That trailer was 99.9% perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ended with the EA logo on the bottom of the thing, which is still upsetting. However.
Yes.
No microtransactions.
Right.
No
announcements.
Exclusively campaign. That's
single
it.
Player. Yeah.
Single player. I'm a little bummed that there's not like a couch co-op, but
and respawn.
Yeah.
And it's respawn.
Yeah. EA
it's
respawn. Who just did Apex Legends, which is awesome.
And respawn is actually partially run by two guys from Infinity Ward who did the old Call of Duty games back before Call of Duty also became sort of a microtransaction kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2, which honestly, like, Modern Warfare has way too short of a campaign because it is a Call of Duty game and they're like, no, multiplayer is what's selling dope.
Yeah.
But if you play Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3 as a campaign, like, as a full game, it is a solid story.
Yeah.
They really know how to, like when you feel like you can't be seen and you need to feel stealthy, like, even though the game isn't built for stealth, they handle it.
Yeah,
right. You know, granted, Apex I don't think handles stealth worth beans, but they, you know, if they wanted to go multiplayer, I'd really appreciate it. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with a game that has no multiplayer.
Have you ever played Titanfall?
I've not played Titanfall. I remember
respawn.
When Titanfall came out because they had huge mechs walking around in at an anime expo.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah, but Respawn's...
They did Titanfall and Titanfall 2, which is... Apex is actually a spin-off of Titanfall.
No way!
Yeah.
Really?
I had no idea.
So, the fact... Those games are awesome. Titanfall's so much fun.
I've heard nothing but good things about Titanfall.
In fact, when all the announcements were coming out about this game, they're like, oh, like, the company that did, Titanfall and Apex, are like, okay, we're cool.
Now, Titanfall has an online component, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has a multiplayer, but also has, like, the campaign, which is really cool. It's got a pretty cool story.
Yeah. See, because... Like, there's a lot of games that are really critically acclaimed, like Destiny and Overwatch and Apex Legends, where, like, that sort of thing everyone, you know, has a lot of love for, but there's also plenty of critics.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I give crap to Destiny all the time because it's WoW in space, but...
I do, and I play it every day.
Yeah. You freaking love Destiny.
Yeah.
You've missed out on opportunities to have fun with me
because
you've been
of Destiny.
Stuck on Destiny.
Yeah.
And I like Apex, but I definitely think that it misses the bar a little bit in the Overwatch realm. And I like Overwatch, but I feel like sometimes people in Overwatch can be a little bit frustrating. Same thing with Fortnite. There's all these...
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody talk shit about Titanfall's community or Titanfall as a game.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody, and maybe because it's just a little bit of a sleeper, and so it didn't get popular enough to have that, like, outspoken, we hate this thing, but, like, anytime something regarding Titanfall happens, internet is like, yes, all hail, we love them.
Yeah.
So, if that's who is making this, then hopefully they've got enough, I mean, if they were able to do that under EA, then they might be able to pull something a little bit better off.
And to be fair to EA, like, they've been... let's face it, they royally fudged up Battlefront 2, right?
Oh, yeah.
So...
and everybody made it known.
The single most downvoted... for those of you who don't know, EA... EA microtransactioned... okay, so let's back up.
What's a microtransaction?
In games...
rewind.
There are... in games, there are... there's this thing that's in some video games called microtransactions. Microtransactions are actually just transactions with a prettier name, where you pay money to have either something aesthetically different than other players within an online game, or you pay money for...
to win.
You pay money for upgrades. An upgrade that could give you an advantage, which basically makes the game play to win.
Yeah.
And
pay to win.
It's very, very frustrating for those of us who don't have lots of money or mommy and daddy's credit card.
Uh-huh.
Or a stolen credit card or whatever they're using to pay
kids
for
these days.
Yeah. So that was a problem because we knew that was going into Star Wars Battlefront 2. Star Wars Battlefront 2 then released information on how you could get characters such as Darth Vader. Darth Vader is a critical character in the Star Wars universe. There
literally
is no
all
reason.
Nine movies are about
him. There is no reason whatsoever why achieving the ability to pull Darth Vader out in the field in an online game such as Battlefront 2, which did have its own campaign, albeit not entirely as long as it could have been. Certainly
story,
not as
though.
Good as Battlefront 2
really
for the PS2.
Cool. Yeah, I dug it.
I haven't finished it yet, but I am absolutely in love with it.
It's so good.
But in order to achieve the ability to have Darth Vader, it was going to take 40 hours of gameplay, and it was like, even then, it was a maybe.
Yeah.
And someone posted about it and said, this is absurd.
What the hell?
I can pay money to have the advantage of Darth Vader on the field, or I have to work an entire work week to get him.
And I also paid up to $80 for this game.
Oh, yeah.
$80. I bought the whole
special edition.
Special edition.
Yeah.
I played the game like 3 days, and I was like, fuck.
But that wasn't the only character. There were so many
other
characters.
No, there were so many other locked
characters.
There
was a bunch of guns,
ships,
maps,
all these other benefits.
Yeah.
And so the EA, let's call them what they are, the like soften the blow and make us, you know, their PR lackeys came in and were like, we'd like to give the players a sense of accomplishment if they were to achieve this thing. And everyone's like, a sense of accomplishment, you pieces of shit?
Yeah.
When I have to fight against, you know, Tommy the 10-year-old who has, you know, mommy's credit card.
Yeah.
And is now, like, kicking my ass with Darth Vader because he has the time to play this and or he has the money to play this.
Yeah.
Because no one's stopping him when I'm sitting here trying to, like, when I've paid money for your game
already
and you want me to pay more money.
Yep.
And so... all of that comment. It was the single most downvoted comment in Reddit history.
And you know that, Reddit, that's a big...
that's a huge
it was over 600,000. And then to make it worse...
it's still going.
Corporate shills came in. It's been long enough now that it's probably not downvotable.
Wow.
But corporate shills came in who were basically fake profiles to try to defend EA.
Oh.
And they got called out right out the chute.
Yeah.
And then to this day... since that comment, I think EA has posted maybe, that profile has posted maybe two other comments.
Yeah.
They shut that
they
down.
They
were like,
yeah.
we're never responding on Reddit again. That
and,
was a terrible idea.
And the huge thing about it, too, is when the game was actually finally released, because they released all this information beforehand, sales were down.
Yeah.
Dude, Black Friday, shelves were full of Star Wars Battlefront 2.
No,
you were seeing games flying off, everything. People boycotted the shit out of
that game. And you know what? Like, the entire gaming community came together and was like, no, you know what? We're sick of this.
Yeah.
This is crap.
If you can get the gaming community together...
And there was a divide. Because people were like, you're taking this too far.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to say that microtransactions are gambling, blah, blah, blah. But there are some...
but it is. There's sometimes...
Belgium...
they banned
it. Straight up. Until they fixed it. Because microtransactions are... especially microtransactions where you're getting a loot box, which means you're paying for a maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're
getting. Is legally... under their definition of gambling, it is legally gambling.
Yeah.
which therefore is illegal because the miners are using it.
Yeah.
And so the gaming community did have a little bit of a divide of like, are we taking this too far? But it was like, how much further do you want it to go? Before video games are always like this.
Yeah, everything's going to be.
So they revamped their power-up system. They revamped their transaction system. And after a certain point, they said, like, no more. No more strategically improving upgrades would be available for money.
Yeah, I hear the game is really good now.
Dude, it's wonderful. Yeah. Oh, my God. So when I saw it on Black Friday last year, you know, a year after its release, I was like, I have no good reason to not buy this.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's been long enough where even if you buy it now, like, it's not going to be a big thing. Plus, if you end up getting it, use it, like, GameStop,
like $10.
GameStop's getting the money, not EA.
I bought it digitally when it went on sale about a month and a half, 2 months before Black Friday. But I saw it there, and I said to Clay, our roommate, I said, Clay, I'm gonna buy you like a copy of Battlefront 2 so we can play together.
Yeah.
And he was like, I can't play Battlefront 2. Like, we're boycotting Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
And I said, if we don't reward EA for getting fixing their shit together and fixing it, then they're not gonna continue to fix it because they know they're gonna lose money either way.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, to be fair to EA, they've kind of set their game up. They've kind of set their game up since that happened. I mean, they really fucked up Anthem.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different story.
I heard really bad things about Anthem.
But I hear that was more BioWare, but that's a whole other...
Say it! But that's a...
A what?
A whole other...
Whole other podcast.
There we go. There it is.
I'm the official part of the podcast now.
Yeah.
It's like, say what? I don't know what's going on.
I got it.
But that brings up another thing, too. Yeah. Like, there's a studio that actually creates and develops the game, but there's the studio that will release and promote the game and add in different stuff. And that's what EA did with Battlefront 2, I think, right?
Yeah.
Who developed that game?
DICE. You're right. It was DICE.
Okay, yeah.
The OG one or this one?
In collaboration with Criterion Games.
Oh, yeah. Criterion Game. That's right. What a Criterion Game do?
Not sure.
Yeah, Burnout. Need for Speed.
Oh, Burnout! Oh, Burnout was so much fun!
Yeah, it was. I wasn't super huge into those games, but like that was one of them that like, I don't know why.
Destroy cars?
Yeah.
So, it's DICE. Great. I have a lot about destruction of cars in video games. I remember when visible damage on cars was introduced in Test Drive 4. For the PC.
Oh, man.
Like, when visible damage was something you could see. I remember when Top Gear Rally put over, like...
Top Gear.
Physical damage visible in the freaking... Oh, so good. Anyway.
Yeah.
Back on DICE.
Yeah.
So they developed the game, and then EA came in, and were like, cool, we're going to get our grubby little hands on it and do our own thing. Well, I think Lucasfilm was finally just like, no, like, you've kind of tarnished our name.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a few games left in our contract. Don't mess this up.
Yeah, and the thing is we had an existing video game company in LucasArts. LucasArts made everything from the Nintendo Star Wars game, Super Star Wars, all the way through
Jedi Knight
to Jedi Knight and
Jedi
all
Academy,
KOTOR, Rogue Squadron, Knights of the Old Republic,
old school Battlefront 2, right?
Star Wars Pod Racer, Battlefront 2.
Star Wars Pod Racer was fun on N64.
Yeah, it was.
I have it.
I love that game.
Oh, yeah, it's over there.
I got Shadows of the Empire.
God, that was good.
So,
yeah, they had a good...
They had a really solid run, and they had plans for more games, too, but it got shut down in the buyout.
Mm-hmm.
That was before the buyout.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
It was a little bit before the buyout.
Yeah, because 1313 was on its way, and then they shut that down, too.
That was a different company that was similar sort of thing, where they contracted other... game studios to create these games, and then LucasArts would help put them out.
Yeah, and you've got to have somebody running the continuity and, you know, check and make sure you're in the trust tree, etc.
Yeah.
But more on that later.
Yes.
It's another podcast.
No, that's
this podcast. However,
okay, so that's everything you need to know about EA. EA is making Jedi Fallen Order.
Anyways.
Jedi Fallen Order looks sick.
Oh,
it looks
amazing. So awesome. Starring the Joker from Gotham, just throwing it out there.
Yeah,
that's the Cameron Monaghan.
Monaghan. Oh, I just had it.
Monaghan.
Oh, that game looks so awesome.
It does. Yeah. So
yeah, you play a Padawan, kind of like in the same situation that Kanan was in right after. Right after the Order 66.
In the game,
dude. I really hope
that's what
Kanan
you're thinking.
Shows
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
You've got Inquisitors. There's an Inquisitor specifically made for this game.
But was introduced in one of the comics earlier in the year.
Yeah.
They just threw that out there. Like, oh, yeah, like we created this one. And because it takes so long for to develop a video game, comics come out a little bit quicker.
Oh, yeah.
They put it out in one of the Darth Vader comics. So I'm like, I've seen that!
Yeah. Yeah, the Inquisitors, the High Inquisitor is his own dude, and he is a former Temple Guard.
Temple Guard.
From when the Jedi were still doing their thing.
I can see all that stuff original, in Rebels. The original EU, there was just one Inquisitor, right?
I don't remember there being any Inquisitor at all.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was one before the whole Mouseketeer buyout thing.
No, no. There were... It was... I mean, Vader and the Emperor trained hands. Hands of the Emperor.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Inquisitors kind of... Yeah, but they're... I mean, they're like... If 501st are Vader's fist, the Inquisitors are his boot.
Yeah, basically. You
know? Yeah.
And except they're his boot his specifically for...
For Jedi.
For Jedi.
Yeah.
And the Inquisitor... Like, we've... So we've had the Inquisitor... High Inquisitor. How many times am I going to say the word Inquisitor?
Lots.
Inquisitor.
We have the High Inquisitor, and then we have the like lesser ones.
Yeah.
With their weird, stupid helicopter blades. But we had several of them introduced, including one voiced by Sarah Michelle Gellar on Rebels.
Oh, that was.
Because Freddie Prinze Jr. is her husband.
Yeah. And, who plays Kanan?
And he plays Kanan. So we had a couple there, and then we had a brother, and they're all called like the fifth brother, the sixth brother, or the sister.
Kind of cool. I like that.
We've had a few Inquisitors introduced in the comics, and then we had one introduced in the Ahsoka book, who has then made it into the comics. And the comics has kind of been a real bridge for all canon like, to
a lot of things,
especially the Vader comic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God, it was so good. Not that we say that every other podcast, but God,
the Vader comic is so good.
Yeah,
I've read the first issue.
Oh yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah,
yeah. Read Vader Down and the Vader's Castle arc. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Especially Vader's Castle. I like
Vader's Castle's legit.
He does there's some really cool like force meditation
and the art where they show what he's doing is
because he's like, you know, zenned out or whatever, but his limbs are all force projections.
Yeah.
And so it's just like this bright blue and this otherwise like black red nastiness.
Yeah. Super
dope. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So cool. But yeah, so the game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Jedi Fallen Order takes place a few years after Order 66. And the character is just kind of going around. He's doing construction or deconstruction on old Clone Wars capital ships.
Yeah.
And in the trailer, it shows, like, one of his coworker guys, like, falls. And he's trying... He's telling himself not to use the Force to save him.
And there's a...
A probe droid.
A probe droid, yeah, right next to him, like, just watching.
Yeah. But apparently he catches him, and now he's on the run, and you get a lightsaber. Then he go too much... In the panel, they mentioned that the trailer itself was kind of a story trailer. Just because there hasn't been anything announced on the game. Just that
It was the first I even heard of it. Was at the con, so. Or it was rather while watching video of the con.
Yeah. So it gave away a little bit of the story, but it was more lead-up story than what's actually going to happen in the game.
Yeah, and that was a common theme that they kind of said in A New Dawn, when the Kanan prequel book came out, which was my first Star Wars book. Since, like, Empire Strikes Back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And one of the recurring things is every time Kanan has, like, winds up saving somebody, he has to start his whole life
over. He has to go on the run and...
And he's got to go on the run again. Every time he, like, lets it happen. Like, towards the end of the book, he finally is like, I think I have to pack my lightsaber, and then he never returns the damn thing on. But, like this is the story of Jedi on the run. It's like, don't use the Force, don't use the Force. Ah, I gotta use the Force. Okay, now I'm on the run again.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting one of those actual... Crap him on the run again stories.
Yeah, which I'm pretty excited about. And the
game. Do we know who his master was?
Game looks amazing. No, we don't. We don't know any. Yeah, which I'm very okay with. Like, let me.
Kanan.
No, they do the same time. Yeah. I'm hoping for like someone like Plo Koon or someone better than Depa Bolano.
Yeah, the guy that wrote the Mafia 3 story is one of the lead writers of the game, but also one of the guys that wrote for Rebels and Clone Wars. I think he wrote Clone Wars. I know he at least wrote Rebels.
Oh.
He's writing the game too, so like, kind of keep it in the family. And yeah. But yeah, so that's going to be out in November this year.
Mafia 3 had a pretty okay rating. I don't know what its review, whether the review was...
I never played it, but I watched some of my friends play. It looked cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it was fairly well-liked. I mean,
I remember it had
like
a huge opening.
6 or 7, but I don't think... I think that was more on gameplay than it was for story.
Yeah.
That's often what drags a lot of games down is whether is the...
See, now I can't wait to see gameplay for Fallen Order.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be... Yeah. Because... And it's... I know a lot of the cutscenes are all mocapped.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So, like, the actors went in there and did their lines. Very similar to the Battlefront 2 stuff. That was all mocapped as well. Yeah. But yeah, so we got Cameron Monaghan playing the Jedi dude. I saw him in Shameless first.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite shows. So like I saw him in there first, and then he got the role on Gotham. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll recheck that back out.
Star Wars movie.
Oh yeah. God. Yeah. He'd be awesome. So yeah, so that was the Fallen Order panel. They brought a few of the writers, the producers, and that stuff. They just talked about like behind the scenes and how they're making the game and how they're trying to tie it in pretty nicely with everything else. And
yeah.
Back on Battlefront 2, one of the things that I don't think is really recognized enough in Battlefront 2 is how many Easter eggs there are in the game itself. Because a lot of people, naturally, watched the cinematics all the way through instead of playing it because nobody wanted to buy the game.
Yeah.
But I did that first.
Yeah. I haven't watched the cinematics all the way through. I've watched the first one or two. Yeah. But like, you know, you want to see what the hell's going on. The Emperor is dead.
Or is he?
Or
man.
We'll get to
World Between Worlds. Yeah. But like walking around Maz Kanata's cantina, you hear people talk. Somebody's talking about Zebrarellius.
Yeah.
Someone is talking about Delta Squadron, which is a reference to the Lost Stars characters.
That mission took me forever in the game because once I noticed what they were talking about, I was like,
I went through
every single conversation. Yeah.
And I was at work, and Bryce kept texting me. They just talked about this.
That's the best thing about Star Wars is like there's so much lore. Like there could be Jedi's out there right now because the galaxy's so big, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And apparently there are in the game.
In the comics, like Vader has a whole list of unconfirmed deaths.
That like, they were trying
did
to
they die or not? And you know, Ahsoka and Rex faked their deaths after Order 66.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's in the Ahsoka book. But yeah, characters from Aftermath, characters from Lost Stars, characters from Leia, like all of these things.
Yeah.
Like they're all.
So this is a podcast, and Bryce keeps pointing to our Star Wars library.
We have a library of books.
He doesn't have the Phasma book. I don't know. I don't see it over
there. I don't. I had the audiobook. Yeah. There's a few physical books I'm missing.
Next time I come,
I'll bring comics
it.
And stuff. And
I love that book. The Phasma
did you
book.
Really?
Yeah, I love something
right.
about it. I like
it
really,
was right.
I like the grittiness of it for some reason. Mm-hmm.
I've heard similar things about the Phasma book as I did about the Vader and Palpatine book. It kind of was repetitive.
Yeah.
It was.
Like you're just like, oh, we're going through the same problem. Didn't we already do this?
Like
they took that whole like the timeline is a circle thing a little too far.
Yeah, they did.
It did get to the
very
point.
Cool
where
ideas,
it was
very
like,
cool stories, very it was really awesome to see how Phasma got from her like backwater planet to
You read the Phasma comic?
No.
Oh,
it was awesome.
It is solid. Yeah. You saw the deleted scene from The Last Jedi where Phasma gets called out for being the reason that Starkiller Base got destroyed?
No, because you know how I feel about Last Jedi.
So real quick, just so everybody else knows, Amir, who has probably seen Last Jedi more times than I have, claims that he doesn't like it very much.
But he keeps watching it.
Despise that movie.
And every time he watches it again,
I love Star Wars. Every time I watch it,
Anyway, there's a deleted scene in it.
I've gotten a little farther, though. I've gotten about 20 minutes in without hating it lately.
Okay.
So it's getting better.
Yeah.
You just ignore that Laura Dern doesn't know who her character is.
Yeah.
Doesn't realize that she's supposed to play an adult Luna Lovegood.
Yeah.
So
I'm telling you, man, the one thing...
That Leia book was so good.
That would have fixed that movie is if they had chosen to go with a how did they find us, who's our spy plot.
There's an actual spy.
Oh. There wasn't a spy.
Yeah. Maybe. You know what would have been really cool? Is if there was a spy, but it turns out it was a Boba Fett spy. finally got him.
Yeah. So deleted scene.
The deleted scene in that book, or in that movie, is that she has Finn cornered off, and he's surrounded by stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And he's like, you want to tell all these other stormtroopers that you're the reason that all of their friends are dead? Buddy?
Ooh.
And she takes out every single stormtrooper right then and there. Because
why does they put that in the
movie?
Because
her reputation is now on the line.
Ugh.
And yeah, because they made some bad choices.
I would have enjoyed that scene.
Yeah, it was really dope. Yeah. It's the best part of that whole thing. Anyway,
check
out Phasma's really
the
good.
Deleted scenes of that movie are so good. And there's a bunch of the deleted scenes that are in the book that they put back in to like smooth everything out.
Yeah, the extended edition of the book has a lot of stuff, apparently.
Yeah,
same for The
really
Force
cool.
Awakens.
Yeah,
I read The Force Awakens one. That one was really good. I was like, whoa, it was
But my point, coming back to it, is that these little things, these extra characters that get added in, these other little nuances, get tossed throughout the entire gameplay. Like, you're sneaking past somebody to go, like, shut down a generator, and you hear them going, yeah, is Delta Squadron back? And, like, you're like, oh, cool, Delta Squadron is currently checking out the fleet, because that's that scene where Sienna...
In Lost Stars.
In Lost Stars, where Sienna actually finds them in the ring of a planet, spying on the Death Star 2, I think, is what they're... It's either Death Star 2 or it's the beginning of the blockade, like, you know, ambush. But they see him, and she ends up, like, one of them, you know, she ends up letting them escape as part of, you know, there's a dogfight. It's super dope. Yeah. But the dogfight they're talking about is happening while you're on the ship in the first mission.
Yeah.
So if this game does that, and it's a story-driven game where we have at least somewhat of an open world, where it's not like mission after mission after mission after mission, but actually a full story where they're, you know, we're just, you play through it linearly even. Yeah.
Like
this game's
going
to be, like, huge. People are going to be exploring the shit out of this game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of how Knights of the Old Republic kind of was.
Yeah, there's so much to Knights of the Old Republic.
Much.
And there's so much to Knights of the Old Republic because there's different options for how you end up playing because it's an RPG. But like the riddle box where you get sucked into the box that's supposed to like screw over some other dude for the gangster. Like, you didn't have the riddle box, did you?
Wait, what?
There's a point where you open up the box because a Hutt has sent it to somebody.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
open up the box and you get sucked in and you're in this white world that's just blank, like the Matrix, you know, gun selection screen.
Yeah.
And you're in there with one of the fish people from the water planet.
Which game are we talking about?
Knights of the Old Republic.
Knights of the Old Republic.
And you're in there, and he has a riddle contest with you, and if you pass the riddle contest...
That sounds kind of familiar. I think I might have played through it of, like, the 7 or 8 times I've played through that game on either Dark Side or Light Side. I think I might have that once.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different things.
Yeah, because you might not even get the box to go give to the person to screw them over, but I looked in the box and I wasn't supposed to, and I got sucked in.
Gosh, that game was so ahead of its time.
Dude.
Oh. That game is the reason I understand how RPGs work.
Yeah.
Like, I've played plenty of RPGs in my life, but that game's so clear. Like, you have this stat, they have this stat, that's why they're kicking your ass.
Yep.
You know? You know, and I know they're not going to go into that sort of level of gameplay because they're trying to be a little bit more modern. You know, they're not going to try...
Yeah, they'd be a little more action-y and not as... Not that it was... It was a little bit turn-based, but not as...
Well, it was optional turn-based, which
is nice.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
But this game, I doubt they're doing anything of the sort. It's going to be...
Straight up.
I want to press a button 7 times. Yeah, I want combos.
I think it's going to be more like Horizon Zero Dawn or God of War style.
Yeah,
yeah. And
both
world,
of those are very
enough.
Well
yeah.
known for their
yeah, the
combat
game of the year.
System. And, yeah.
So
yeah, so that was the Jedi Fallen Order,
Fallen Order
panel, which was great. There was a bunch of cool little interviews that they did in between, or at least on the live stream. Star Wars,
Star Wars Live.
I don't remember specific interviews on which days.
Oh, it doesn't matter. If we're going to do an accessory of interviews, let's just throw those all at the end.
Yeah, so the next panel up was the Rebels Remembered panel.
Which was really cool.
God, that was so cool.
They didn't have Freddie Prinze, but they had Hera, and they had Sabine, and they had Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
And no Steve Bloom either. But Steve Bloom's a busy man. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's busy trying to keep his world record for most video games.
Yeah. Him and Nolan North are going at it.
Yeah, right.
And then they had Dave Filoni on there.
And Dave Filoni, of course.
Yeah.
And Dave Filoni is fantastic. Super nice guy. We met him last year.
Yes, we did.
And you told me about that.
Yeah.
He was wearing a different hat.
He wasn't wearing a hat, and I was like, this guy. Holy crap, that's Dave. And then we continued to fanboy and almost...
We almost... Like, Wayne and Garth, we're not worthy. No, we were like, dude, amazing panel. Because
right,
like, that was what we
you.
Had just found out. And I don't know if you guys know this... Clone Wars is coming back?
What?
Yes. We'll get there later.
But it was right after Clone Wars coming back was just announced.
Like 2 hours later on
the
street.
And we saw him on the street outside of Comic-Con, and we were like, Dave? Dave! Dave!
Yeah.
Hey, guys. How's it going, guys?
Thank you. You're the best.
We loved that panel. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Like, you're great.
And you could tell he was kind of in a hurry to like,
but like he turned around and like walked backwards. He was like,
"Yeah,
thanks,
he wanted to like talk, but he was still in a hurry." And,
he also, we're not part of his trust tree, so
So
Dave Filoni has what he calls the trust tree, and
for different shows,
for his different things that he runs.
Yeah,
and the trust tree is a system wherein if you're a part of the trust tree, you get to know things. And it is how he keeps track of who knows what. So if somebody knows something they're not supposed to, he has, like, handled it.
He can track it back.
Something gets leaked, he knows who said it.
Exactly. Yeah. He also can make sure that he can keep things a secret.
Yeah.
And very few people are on the tree. Like, they were talking about how Sabine knew the end of the show to a point.
Yeah.
She didn't know what visually was going to happen during her monologue, but she read the monologue.
But there's that last monologue in Rebels in the very last episode, which takes place after Return of the Jedi, and it shows you what's going on with everybody in regards to, like, the original trilogy and what's going on with, like, Death Star 2 and all that stuff.
Yeah, and she was really cool to listen to because she came in. They had her recorded after pretty much, like, everything's done.
They had everybody leave, and then Dave's like, hey, by the way, let's stay back for a little bit.
Yeah,
so she knew things long before anybody else did, but she didn't necessarily know, like, Ahsoka showing up.
Yeah.
Or Kanan and Hera having a weird little green-haired baby.
Yeah.
You know.
Spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it, but if you haven't seen it, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's been
long. I mean, we haven't given too many of the huge ones, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think our grace period has passed for that one.
It's literally been years.
That being said, if you have not watched Star Wars Rebels yet,
you should
definitely
do that.
And it was, I don't know, they swapped a bunch of stories about what it was like to be on the show. And, and what the plans were.
Yeah, like,
nobody could get anything out of Dave as to whether or not they had plans for the future for it.
Yeah. Which is hilarious.
Just that he has ideas, but, you know, he's not going to go into any of those sorts of things with them.
Those are all the behind the scenes logistics that us normal people.
Oh, and we're not part of the trust tree.
We're not part of the trust tree. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but it was really cool, and they showed, like, a few clips of pictures and, like, behind
concept
the scenes.
Concept art, why they went with Loth Wolves.
Yeah.
You want to know why they went with Loth Wolves?
Why?
Dave Filoni likes wolves.
Mm-hmm. Simple enough.
That was it,
He really likes wolves. Yeah. Also because wolves are a really good balance of light and dark, and that they're graceful and that they have honor and a pack and all these sorts of things. But they're also kind of terrifying.
And if you're going
for a force-sensitive or force-associated creature that isn't on one side or the other, kind of like, you know, Bindu and things like that, which they didn't even mention Bindu, but...
Damn it!
Yeah.
If you're going for that, a wolf is really, really a cool part of that. And how Kanan reacts to the wolves when he sees them versus how Ezra reacts to the wolves when he sees them shows where in the Force they kind of lie.
Yeah.
And a lot of things, they basically were this, like, litmus test for, like, where the characters were.
Yeah. But also even with their training as well.
Yeah. And they talked about what it was like with, like, why Kanan's eyes changed color during the scene with the fire on one side and them on the other and things like that. Because it was actually kind of half an accident.
Yeah.
And Dave draws a ton of the storyboards for it.
Yeah.
And anytime Dave's involved in something, it's intricate and it's important. But he will, he said in the Clone Wars panel last year, do a little bit more of a loose, this is kind of what I want for most things, but if he thinks that it's actually important where the angles are, he'll start putting a lot more detail into his drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Super.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And a lot of the animators, like, focus on a little more, like, hey, like, pay special attention to this.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going for, and this is why I'm going for it.
Like the droid episode, the astromech episodes of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
He was very specific about how those angles had to work, because that episode has to be cinematically interesting, because otherwise it's not.
Droids can't really talk too, so.
Yeah, you're working on beeps and a very angry, tiny little Jedi.
Yeah.
Or I guess, is he a Jedi?
Who? Wait, who?
I guess he's just a commander in the droid, in the astromech episode of Clone Wars. The little guy who rides in the astromech, I don't think he's force sensitive at all. I think he's just a commander who happens to be you know, a foot and a half tall.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was really cool seeing the voice actors. First off, they're all good friends.
Yeah.
And they all record most of the episodes together.
Yeah.
So they can play off each other.
Which is very rare for animation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But then also, it was cool having them talk about their character and their journey from, like, the first season to the last season.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Sabine felt like she had all of her shit together. Her character, her actress, was saying, I really felt like I was kind of this wise beyond your years kind of character.
Yeah.
And as her character begins to grow, she pointed out, she was like, I realized my character doesn't have it all figured out.
No.
Which is neat because you can see that because she is a little cocky in the beginning, and then she naturally breaks down in a way that her actress kind of felt that she did too.
Yeah. So it was cool. And
Freddie Prinze Jr. pushed for
Kanan to
have what happened to Kanan.
Yeah.
Like, he actually pushed for it.
Oh, really?
Like, Dave, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. It's gotta happen this way. And they're like, what? Why?
Yeah, no,
why would you make those horrible things happen?
Yeah. Yeah, the voice actress that did Hera was like, we're all fighting for ourselves to, like, not die off. And here's Freddy over there.
Okay, so Kanan fought for his own death, not for his blindness.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Well, yeah. That happened. It's fine. It's
okay.
Cool.
So that's Rebels. We need to move on because we have time.
Yeah. So that was basically the Saturday panels.
Jonas interviewed himself.
That was, yeah, I think that was Saturday. So the guy that plays Chewbacca now, on the Star Wars Live.
Baby. So cute.
Yeah.
And his baby's not afraid of Chewbacca.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. But no, so they were interviewing some company that did some sort of Chewie bust or like life-size head model kind of thing. And all of a sudden here comes Jonas like out of the door like, oh, I heard my name over here. And they're like, oh, it's Chewie! And so we sat on stage. They finished the interview with everybody. And then everybody kind of left. And he's like,
nobody had a plan to stay on and talk to Chewie for a while.
Yeah, so we sit there like, where did everybody go? Guess I'm interviewing myself now. So he was just like, hey, so how was it interview or how was it playing Chewbacca in the movie? He's like, oh, it was so good. He would like kind of go back and forth. And then he started interacting with the audience. And then the guy that co-hosts the Star Wars show, he's kind of off the side, just watching like from a couple feet off. There's like a little table that's on there. He was kind of like hiding on it and just watching the actor that plays Chewie now just like doing his own thing. And he's such like a goof and like such a dork. And you're just like,
he is.
Our people, this is perfect. Like,
yeah.
He should be around co-hosting everything.
Yeah.
And he's so humble and
he seems like such a really cool guy. Like in the episode 9 panel, I was like, this is my favorite guy on the
He's such a dork.
Yeah.
Like, on that panel, I was like, you're almost cringy because you're too excited.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like everyone out like I was like, I'm pretty cool. And Rey's like, well, I'm here and I love you guys. And Finn's like, I'm definitely cool. And then there's Jonas who's like, hi, everybody. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, he was so
cool. Here, let me speak Wookiee for you because I speak Wookiee.
Yeah, so he'll do the Chewie voice.
It's not even augmented, but I'm all right.
He goes for it.
He doesn't care.
You know, if you got a fart.
He's our people. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he...
You can tell he's somebody who's excited about being in Star Wars.
Okay. I think they're all excited about being in Star Wars, but I don't think it's truly...
They weren't...
worn off. How magical it is. Because
and plus, he's Chewbacca. Like,
he's not
Chewbacca. You know, Rey, a new character.
And I think
he
almost seems like he was more of a fan of Star Wars than anybody else before he was cast.
Yeah.
Like, he was a straight up fan.
Like, I think all of them loved Star Wars. Like, Star Wars, heck yeah. But, like, I feel like he was
in it.
Our people.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's one of us in a Star Wars movie.
And I think he goes a little bit too far with things like when he takes over and he's like, can I just be the guy who says I'd like to give a shout out to Peter Mayhew, my mentor, blah, blah, blah. You're like, I mean, I'm not judging you for making that shout out. You totally should. Peter Mayhew. I got an autographed picture of him in the next room.
Yeah.
And it's framed. But like the fact that he's like, you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Anthony Daniels. Yep. Anthony Daniels has that same level of like,
excitement.
I love this. Yeah. I love everything about this.
He milks everything.
Like, I kind of want Anthony Daniels, Alan Tudyk, and Jonas.
Interviewed by Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
He wants Star Wars 3 weeks longer than everybody else.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be, I'd watch the hell out of that panel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jonas interviewed himself.
Yeah, so he interviewed himself and it was hilarious and that kind of gave way to the Rebels panel there.
Right.
Yeah. And that was Saturday.
Yeah.
That was Saturday's schedule.
Solid, nothing crazy. The video game is probably the biggest news.
Yeah.
And then that was the end of the episode. Because cutting things into multiple days makes for more content.
Yeah, it does.
So, listen to the next one.
Here we go.
Next time on Dragon Ball SG.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The greatest news. Please pay us, Dodo. We really need money.
To wrap up Sunday,
coconut husks.
Game of Thrones.
We covered this table in cheese.
It was an episode. Thank you.
Battlefront 2 was... Battlefront 2 wasn't DICE, were they?
No.
No, that was the original, I think.
Let's find out.
Fact check!
Fact check!
Yeah.
Everybody needs a little fact check in their life.
Mm-hmm. I googled fact check. God damn it.